This morning, I want to continue what I spoke on last week about the love of our Heavenly Father, the love of God. In fact, I think we could talk about God's love to us every single week and never exhaust the measure of the love of God. In fact, when we come to Romans chapter number 8, the Apostle Paul is speaking about what can separate us from the love of Christ. And he concludes that nothing can separate us. And this morning, I want to preach on this subject. Nothing can separate us. This morning, we are loved. A love beyond what you could imagine. A love that knows every detail of our life, and yet he loves us. And you may be going through some difficult time in your life right now. Heartache, sorrow, disappointment, maybe health issues, maybe financial issues, spiritual issues, whatever it may be. And so often in the moment when we are dealing with that, we think somehow God's love is not intact in our life. But brethren, we must understand that Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 8 that we do not hang on to God's love. He says that God's love hangs on to us. His love can never be separated. Let's read Romans chapter 8. Let's begin in verse number 31. We will read down to verse number 39. The Bible says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul is dealing with the love of Christ. And by the way, how do we know the love of God for you and me? Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth," the word means showed, "his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Brethren, this morning, you have a God in heaven. Maybe you know him. Maybe you have accepted his Son, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior. But no matter what, God loves you today. And there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Now, when Paul is writing this letter, he is writing to Christians. He is speaking to them. And by the way, Paul knew something about tribulation. In fact, when we think about the Apostle Paul, Paul knew what it was to suffer. He knew what it was to endure hardship and trials in life. In fact, Paul had been through so many different things. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, had dealt with beatings. I mean, Paul was beaten many times with rods and stripes and whips. Paul was imprisoned many times. He had to deal with hard labor. He knew what it was to have sleepless nights. He knew what it was to fast, and he knew what it was to be lied about. He knew what it was to be deceived and to be chastened. He knew sorrow. He knew poverty. He knew stoning. Paul endured 3 shipwrecks in his life. He knew what it was to be robbed. He knew what it was to be persecuted. He knew what it was to have hunger and to be thirsty and to be cold. And on top of all that Paul dealt with, Paul could still write Romans chapter 8 and say, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul said that I'm persuaded. He was confident that nothing would separate him from the love of Christ. You heard this morning about our Bible club at Mechanicsburg High School. It's just a great blessing to see what God is doing there. And when I preached to those kids this past Friday, there was 90 of them. We were crammed into the room, the biggest room they have in the high school. And we were crammed in there, kids sitting on the floor and just all kinds of things. Just, it was great. But you know something? It's amazing to me how they listen to the truth of the Word of God. In fact, weeks before, I talked about the love of Christ. And I talked about how that the devil wants to blind us to God's love. In fact, during the invitation time, I asked them, how many of you struggle with believing that God really loves you? And I bet out of a group of, I think, 70 kids on that day, I bet 40 to 50 of them raised their hand. We live in a world today where people doubt the love of God. And by the way, if the devil can make you believe that God does not love you, that God does not care for you, he's done the greatest thing in your life to harm your walk with Jesus Christ. Brethren, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. By the way, God's love does not depend on how well we love him. I think all of us would agree today that we love him because he first loved us. But my love for God is nowhere where I want it to be, and yet God's love never changes. You see, the love of God, we don't earn his love, we do not deserve his love, and we don't maintain the love of God. You see, his love is wrapped around us, reinforced by the promises of the Word of God. God loves you and me today. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. By the way, his love holds us perfectly and permanently. We may slip and we may fall. We may sin. We may get out of fellowship with God. In fact, this very moment, you may be out of fellowship with the Heavenly Father. You may be backslid on God. But let me tell you something. God is not backslid on you. His love will never change. Nothing can separate us from his love. In fact, why do we struggle with the love of God? Well, I believe that there's some reasons. I believe, no doubt, that we suffer from doubting God's love because what we know of love, we learn from other people. Isn't it amazing? We live in a world today where people stop loving one another for every selfish and faulty reason imaginable. In fact, a man and wife can get married and then later on in life, he or she can say, I just don't love you anymore. But may I say to you, love has nothing to do with emotion. Love is action. Love is commanded by us from God. But God's love to us never changes. You may have had friends before or family members who have forsook you. And you think, they used to love me. What happened to their love? And sometimes we think that God's love is like human love. Human love is often conditional, and human love is often very limited. But our God has no conditions on his love for you and me. And by the way, God is not limited in his love. I believe another reason we struggle with the love of God is because of the sense of our own sin. Have you ever thought before, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever thought, how could God ever really love me? We think about our sin. We think about how that we are faulty and how that so often we are faithless. And so often we rebel against God. And we may look in the mirror and say, I don't understand how God could ever love me. There's nothing lovable about my life. How could God love me after what I've done, after what I've been a part of? But mark it down today, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. In fact, we know this morning that we are not worthy of the love of God. And it's hard to believe that God would never give up on us. But brethren, God never stops loving you and me. But I believe another reason why we doubt the love of God, and that really brings us to Romans chapter number 8, is that we doubt God's love during times of suffering. Now that's what Paul is dealing with here. And Paul is talking about us going through difficult things. In fact, Romans chapter 8, would you look in verse number 28? Notice what the Bible says. We know this verse. We've memorized it, many of us. And the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we understand today that God is working all things into our life. We think it's only certain things. But brethren, there is a God in heaven who has taken the little, small, minuscule details of your life, but also the trials, the heartaches, the sorrow, the suffering. God is working that together for our good. Paul is addressing Christians, no doubt, that are dealing with difficult things. And by the way, when I read Romans chapter 8, it kind of reminds me of some things in life. Now, every illustration has its limitations. I don't know if you can remember, but I remember when I was a little kid, I remember watching a TV commercial about crazy glue, all right? Now, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world, you know? I mean, I watched a man have a hard hat on with a strap, and he would put crazy glue on the top of his head and fasten himself to an I-beam over a bridge or something like that. I thought, that's cool stuff, man. I need some of that, you know? And the idea with that crazy glue was saying, hey, look, if you can hang yourself suspended, then we can fix your vase and we can fix the small items. I mean, we can do it all. In fact, today, let me give you a modern day commercial like that. It's this wonderful stuff called Flex Seal, right? You ever seen that stuff? I mean, they sell it in places now, you know? My kids always get a kick out of that, you know? And that guy, and by the way, he's an energetic guy, you know? The guy who sells that stuff, I think his name, I can't remember his name. But anyway, I mean, it's just amazing. He takes a boat and he puts a screen in the bottom of it. Now, why you would want to even do that in the first place, I have no idea, you know? But, I mean, you see him. I mean, he's painted this stuff with this Flex Seal, and then he goes out even on an airboat. And, man, he's flying through there, and you think, man, you know what he's trying to say? Hey, look, if you can seal a boat, a screen boat, then we can seal anything in your house. Well, I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Paul goes from one extreme to the next, and he says, let me tell you something, the love of Christ will always be towards you. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to look at some things here this morning. By the way, go back to Romans chapter 8, and I want to show you a verse here to help us understand something. Romans 8 and verse number 36. There's a passage that says this, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You say, Pastor, what does that verse mean? It says, as it is written. So it is referring to something as it was written. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter number 44. Let me show you as it is written. When we come to the 44th Psalm, we find the children of Israel dealing with some difficult things in life. By the way, this Psalm 44 is a reflection on a historical period when Israel's enemies were dominating them. In fact, they were inflicting tribulation on their life, distress, persecution, peril. They were going through some of the greatest heartache of their life. And that is why when we come to Psalm chapter 44, let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 23. The Bible says, let's start, if you would please, in verse number 22. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. The psalmist is writing saying, we are being destroyed by our enemies. We are like sheep on slaughter day, and we're all being killed and destroyed. And look what the psalmist writes in verse 23. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Why do you think Paul referenced Psalm chapter 44? I'll tell you why. It is because during times of great heartache, during times of great distress, times of death, times of sorrow, times when it seems like we're never going to be the same, Paul is referencing that so often we feel just like the children of Israel felt in Psalm 44. You know what they said? Look at it again in verse 23 of Psalm 44. Notice what they said. It's just what we think. Verse 23, "Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord?" They say, "God, are you asleep? Do you not know what is happening?" He goes on in verse 24, "Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression?" They said, "God, it almost seems as if you've hidden your face from us. God, it almost seems you don't know what is happening." And mark it down. We are no different than the children of Israel, that when we go through difficult times, I'm going to tell you something, we doubt the love of God. We doubt His care for us. We begin to think, "God, do you see me? Do you know what's going on in my life?" Why could 50 high school students say, "Sometimes I struggle with the love of God"? Can I tell you why? Because they have difficult things in their life. Look, we don't doubt His love when things are going well in our life. We don't doubt His love. In fact, when things are working together and everything is in place, we think, "Boy, God really loves me. God really cares for me. Oh God, thank you for your goodness and your grace." And there's nothing wrong with us thinking that, because God is good. But brethren, God is good not just during the wonderful times, the times of blessing. God is good in the times of burden and the times of despair. You see, we think just like the children of Israel do. We think, "God, you've hid your face from us. Lord, do you not love us anymore?" Well, Paul deals with that in Romans chapter 8. Would you turn back there in the Bible? And I want to show you some things. Basically, what I want to do is take each one of these extremes and I want to talk about them. By the way, our difficult to painful circumstances in life are no reflection on the love of God for you and me. He loves us. He cares for us. Now, by the way, God's promise is not that suffering will never afflict us. You know, I thought that when I first got saved and came to know the Lord, that now that I'm a child of God, everything is going to be good in my life. God's going to take care of everything for me. I mean, hey, if God loves me, then He surely wouldn't let me go through this and that and all that. But it was difficult for me to understand that God does allow heartache, and He allows pain, and He allows suffering into my life, not to destroy me, but to make me more like Jesus Christ, to draw me to Himself. God's promise is not that suffering will never afflict us, but that it will never separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Look here, why do we think sometimes that just because we are Christians that we will never deal with difficult things in life? I don't know why we think it, but we do think it. And brethren, today, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Number one, I want you to know some things back in Romans chapter 8. And let's begin, if you'll notice, what the Bible says here in verse number 38. "For I am persuaded." Now, by the way, I'm going to start with that word, persuaded. Why was Paul persuaded? It indicates that there were times in Paul's life where he was not persuaded in the love of God. Are you persuaded this morning? Are you confident that God's love will never be separated from you? Hey, listen, you could go through the most difficult things in life, but there is a God in heaven who will never stop loving you. He'll never stop caring for you. He will never stop working in your life. And this morning, if you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not know where you would go if you died today, I want you to know that God loves you today, in spite of your sin. And God has shown you the greatest love of all, and that is that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die just for you. and when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because you cannot save yourself, you will know the love of God like never before. He said, I am persuaded. He said, I've gone through this in my mind. I am confident that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Number one, I want you to notice, neither death nor life. Notice what he says back in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Now, Paul uses these extremes, death and life. And what he is doing here, he's doing the same thing that God did back in Psalm chapter 103. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, God has removed our sins from us. The ideal is a totality. God is saying, look, as far as the east is from the west, I have taken your sins and I buried them in the depths of the deepest sea. No man can find them. God said, I cannot even find them because they are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, what Paul is doing, he's doing the same thing. He is saying death nor life can separate us from the love of Christ. Now let's think about this just for a moment. None of us can really imagine a greater wall of separation than death. You know, we deal with death. Death seems so absolute. It seems so final. It seems so difficult to deal with it. And by the way, we don't look forward to the separation that we are going to encounter with our loved ones. My mom and dad are still living, and I'm thankful for that. They'll be here in just a couple of days for my daughter's graduation. But I know if the Lord tarries his coming, that there's coming a day that I'm going to have to deal with the death of my parents. I know that if the Lord tarries his coming, there will be a day when my wife and I will die. We'll be separated from one another. I've asked the Lord to take me before her. I don't think I could live without her. I really don't. In fact, I've told my wife, I said, honey, I want the Lord to just take us both at the same time so we don't have to go through the door of death and deal with that separation. But there are some people that deal with separation of their loved ones. By the way, they're never really separated from you. Because, brethren, can I tell you something? We will see our loved ones, if they know Christ, again one day. I'm looking forward to the day in heaven when there'll be a great reunion. And a great reunion of all those that have gone before us. Death seems so final. And we can almost think in the moment of death, God, do you not love me? God, do you not care for me? God, why would you take my child and my husband, my wife, my father, my mother, my grandparent? God, why? But even in death, Paul says, neither death nor life. By the way, there are some things in life that almost seem even worse than death. There are people that deal with things in life that are so difficult to deal with. In fact, in life, there is deep grief. There is despair often. There is depression. And there are serious physical challenges. The loss of a child, the loss of a loved one that seem almost more difficult than death itself. But Paul says, in the greatest time of death, you will never be separated from the love of Christ. But even in the moment of life, the greatest difficulties of life, you will never be separated from the love of Christ. I'm reminded of different things. And I'm reminded of a story that I read years ago by the man named John Chrysostom. Now, Mr. Chrysostom lived way back, but he knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. In fact, he was brought before the Roman emperor for his faith in Christ. And the Roman emperor said, you can't practice that faith. And he brought him before, and the emperor said, I will banish you if you do not give up your faith. John Chrysostom said, you can't banish me, for the whole world is my Father's house. The emperor said, but I will put you to death. John said, no, you can't, because my life is hid with Christ and God. The emperor said, then I will take away all your material possessions. And Mr. John said, no, you can't. My treasure is in heaven along with my heart. The emperor said, but I can drive you away from men. You will have no friends left. And John said, no, you can't. You can't make me friendless, because I have a friend in heaven from whom you can't separate me. I defy all your attempts to silence me. There is nothing you can do to hurt me. Can I tell you what Mr. Chrysostom said and what he believed in? He believed without wavering that the love of God held him firmly and would never let him go. Brethren, in death or in life, and by the way, for the child of God, death is but a door that ushers us in to the very presence of Jesus Christ. In fact, death is something that we don't understand it. And we're almost scared about that moment of death. What really takes place? Well, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why? Because nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. In fact, Jesus told us in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, neither death nor life. The second thing, back in Romans chapter 8 and verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers." He was dealing here with the things that are all around us. By the way, may I tell you that we cannot see the spirit world today, but there's a great battle that is being fought even now as we speak. There is a battle between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. And by the way, the devil wants to destroy each and every one of our lives. He wants to bring to us a great temptation and a great moment of opportunity. And he wants to destroy us. There's a battle that wages. Paul even said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," not against something we can see, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know what Paul was saying? I know what it is to deal with the temptations of the devil. I know what it is to deal with the evil forces of this world in which we live in. But nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. By the way, when Jesus Christ died and he rose again, can I tell you what happened? In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, by his death and resurrection, the Bible says that he spoiled principalities and powers. Can I tell you something? Nothing in this world, no demon, no devil, no authority that is against God, no power can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Oh, listen, sometimes I remember when I first got saved, I began to fear the devil. I began to fear that he wanted to destroy my life. But brethren, can I tell you something? That the devil is under the control of an almighty God and all of his demons. In fact, one night this past week, we were having devotions as a family, and we're reading through the Word of God, and we came to a portion where Jesus cast out a demon out of a man, and the demon spoke to Jesus and said, "I know who thou art. Thou art the Holy One of God." That demon knew who Jesus was. And that demon knew that he had to get permission and authority from an almighty God. And brethren, let me tell you something. Nothing can come to us except it first comes through the loving hands of an almighty God. Amen. We may not understand it, but nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Number three, notice what the Bible says back in Romans 8:38. It says, "Neither nor things present, nor things to come." This deals with the cares of today and the concerns of tomorrow. By the way, I wonder this morning, do you deal with cares right now? You have cares this morning, but you have concerns for tomorrow. So many of us fear the future. We fear our health failing. We fear things coming to us. And by the way, all people throughout every age, in every area, every era of life, have lived through great fears. Can you imagine the people that just came through World War I lived in fear of World War II? You know something, during my day, we've lived during an era of fear of terrorism and fear of all kinds of things. We know it is there, things present and things to come. By the way, when I think about dealing with great heartache today, I'm reminded of a man by the name of George Matheson. George Matheson was born in the 19th century in Scotland. He was a fine man of God. In fact, he was a preacher. God had called him to preach the Word of God. He was a brilliant student in theology at the Glasgow University. And while he was in school, he fell in love with a beautiful young lady, and they were going to get married. They were engaged to be married. But right after he was engaged, his eyesight began to fail him. In fact, by the age of 20, George Matheson was completely blind. He lost his eyesight. Here he was, a faithful man that loved God and walked with God, and he's going to be married and serve God the rest of his life. Oh, but the insult to injury came when his bride-to-be one day broke off the engagement and said to him, "I was not cut out to be the wife of a blind man." His heart was broken. He was in the depths of despair. But he continued to serve Jesus Christ. He continued to follow the Lord. And one day, Mr. Matheson wrote a hymn that we have in our hymn books. It's a hymn entitled, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." The first stanza says, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, I rest my weary soul in Thee. I give Thee back the life I owe, that in Thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." That man went on to pastor a church of over 1,500 people every Sunday. A blind man, never married, but he realized something, that the love of God would never let him go. Brother, no matter what you are dealing with right now, things present or things to come, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And you say, "Well, Pastor, that's wonderful, but what does it mean?" It means that God will never stop loving you. It means that God will never stop being good to you. And whatever comes to your life, whatever is in your life now, and the things that are coming to your life, He loves you. And what He is allowing is for your good and for His glory. It is to make you more like Jesus Christ. It is to make you more of what He has called you to be. But may I tell you that we are all tempted to doubt His love. We are tempted, what the psalmist said in Psalm 44, "God, have You turned Your face from me? Lord, do You not hear my prayer any longer?" Oh, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Brethren, suffering is inevitable to each and every one of us. We will deal with it. But only those who live in the certainty of God's love will never let them go. They know it. They're certain of it. They are persuaded in it, that we are able to accept what comes to us with confidence, with assurance that God is going to bring all things to pass. Nor things present, nor things to come. Number four, he uses the analogy in verse 39, nor height, nor depth. Now, what does that mean? There are times in life when we are at the high, when everything is great, when we think life is just where it needs to be, the height. But then there's times in life when we are at the depth. That means we are in the deepest, darkest valley. I wonder today, you've gone through things like that, have you not? So have I. We've gone through heartache beyond what we could imagine. And Paul is saying here, listen, no matter what happens, no matter if God brings great success and great blessing in your life, it will never separate you from the love of Christ. But no matter if you're in the depths of despair, you have plunged to a depth that you never dreamed possible. But I believe it means this. Even when you are at the height of your Christian life and you are following Jesus Christ with all your heart, but at the depths, when you are so far from God, when you are so backslid on God, when you have turned your back on God, God never turns His back on you. His love will never be separated. In fact, sometime you ought to read Psalm 139. In fact, would you take your Bibles? Let's go there. Because I want to show you what Psalm 139 says to us. It speaks about His love. The last thing that I want to give you as we turn to Psalm 139 is Paul uses the word, "nor any creature." I believe he summarizes by saying, there is nothing that can ever be created or that ever has been created that will separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. Brethren, it's so easy to believe God's love when things are going well. In fact, we may even think, boy, God must really be happy with me because he's doing all these great things in my life. God must really like me a lot because of all that he is doing. We have K-5 graduation coming up on Thursday and the high school graduation. My son, who is now going into the 7th grade, I remember when he graduated here, K-5 graduation. In fact, he was the only K-5 student. That was it. So he was the valedictorian salutatorian of his class, all right? But I remember people brought him gifts. We didn't know they were going to bring him gifts. And he was in my office with me. I mean, he's just a little guy, 5 years of age. And he has all these gifts. I said, buddy, this is great. And he said, Dad, you know what? I think people kind of like me around here, you know? You know, he was saying, like, man, all these gifts. People must really like me around here. Well, you know what? Sometimes we attempt to examine God's love for us based on what's going on in our life. We think, boy, God really loves me because of this and that. But the danger in that is we are going to go through heartaches. We are going to go through times when we don't know which way to turn. And in that moment, we think, well, God must really doesn't love me. God doesn't care for me. Look at so-and-so. Look at all the great things happening in their life. God must love them more than he loves me. There is a dangerous analogy there. And Paul is reminding us, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Psalm 139, we won't read the whole chapter, but I want you to notice something. Here the psalmist is writing, David is saying this, O Lord, verse 1, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know what? God knows what we think and he knows why we think it. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. David is saying, listen, no matter what happens, no matter where I'm at, God's there. Why? Because he loves you. We read on here, verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge, the knowledge of his love, is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. David said, I can't even understand it. I can't grasp his love. Verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. David is not talking about heaven like where God dwells, or hell, where God will cast the devil and his demons one day. David is talking about the greatest times of life, like heaven on earth, but also the times when it seems like these are the worst of times. God is there. We read on verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Brethren, may I say to you today in closing, I don't know where you're at in your life right now. Years ago, the Titanic ship, it was the ship that was so-called unsinkable. In fact, they said even God cannot sink this ship. And on its one and only voyage, the Titanic sunk. And many lives died. And by the way, many lives they never found, many bodies they never recovered. In fact, during that time, they had to make a board, and with a list under the board, and another board with the list under that board. And on one board it said, to be known to be saved. That's what it said, known to be saved. It says these are people that we know of that have been saved from the sinking of the Titanic. But there was another board with a list that said known to be lost. These are ones that we have never found. These are ones that are known to be lost. And can I ask you a question this morning? Where are you at? You're either on one or two boards. Today, you are known by God to be lost, or you are known by God that you are saved. Are you saved this morning? And what does that mean, to be saved? It means that you recognize that you are a sinner and that you cannot get to heaven on your own, and that Jesus died for your sin, and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what it means to be saved. But today, if you're trying to get to heaven through the waters of baptism, or you're trying to get to heaven by your good works or your confirmation or by your good deeds, may I tell you something today? By God, you are known to be lost. You're lost. You're without Jesus Christ. But you are not separated from the love of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want you to know, just as surely as I stood in a high school room on Friday and 8 young people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God will save you today if you will look to Him by faith. Amen. He said, to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Why? Because His love. But today, maybe you're a Christian here this morning. You know Jesus. But maybe you're going through some things in life that you think, well, I just don't know if God loves me like He used to love me. God's love never changes, folks. It never diminishes. It never grows. His love is perfect for you and me. And Paul is saying, look, when I was shipwrecked and I spent 3 days being shipwrecked, Paul said, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. When I was beaten by my own countrymen, when I was stoned, when I was left for dead, when I was robbed, when I was imprisoned, Paul said, I am persuaded that in all that I've gone through, that God loves me and He cares for me, and even what He allows into my life, He allows out of love and care. This morning, if you're here without Jesus, I want you to be saved today. I beg of you. His love for you is beyond what you could imagine. Accept His love. The love that He gave by giving His own Son just for you. But maybe you're here today and you think, boy, God can't love me. I'm so far from Him. No, His love has never been separated. Come to Jesus. Get right with Him today. Maybe you're here and you're in the depths of despair. You are going through things that you thought never imaginable. And you question the love of God. You wonder, does God really love me? Does God like me? Is God allowing all of this? Yes, He allows it for a purpose and a plan because He loves you. Maybe some of you this morning need to leave your seat and come and just say, God, thank you for loving me. Lord, thank you for having mercy on my sin-sick soul and giving me a home in heaven. Brethren, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's be persuaded. That's why I could talk about this. That's why He said we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The ideal is, brethren, because He loves us, whatever He brings into our lives, we can have victory over, we can bear, because He loves us and He cares for us today. Let's bow our heads in prayer.